January 11, 2015, we met here for the first time to have our public official launch, and it's been good. It's been good. I'm amazed at what God has done in and through this church body. I remember going back a little bit further in 2012, the Lord had given me an opportunity to come to Tucson. And at one point during that trip, I was standing up on a mountain. You guys familiar with a mountain? Overlooking the amazing city, like many have done before. And while I was up there, I was listening to some guys describe for me what I was looking at. Here's the mountains, here's the landscape, here is the demographics, here's where churches are, here's where churches are not. During that time on a mountain, there was a passage laid on my heart from Matthew chapter 9. And in this chapter, leading up to a couple verses, we see Jesus walking with his disciples amongst the people, speaking and healing and doing ministry and doing miracles. We come to verse 35. It says this. It says, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And then verse 36. Here's the verses that God laid on my heart. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. We see a few things that are important in this text here. Jesus was with the people. And Jesus saw the people. Sometimes as the church, as followers of Christ, we miss opportunities to be with the people. And even when we are with the people, sometimes we miss the opportunity to really see them. When it says when the words used here of seeing the people, this word translated, it means that to see something and be acquainted with it. So it wasn't just seeing them, it was seeing them to know them and know more about them. For us, it's to see them through the lens of the gospel of Jesus, to see them as Jesus sees them. So he is with them, and he sees them, and he sees their current condition. And their condition was this: they needed Jesus. They needed the gospel. They needed the hope and salvation that's only found in Christ. And so Jesus, Jesus tells his disciples something very important, and it's for us as well. He tells them there are plenty of people here. There are plenty of people here, but not enough people of mine sharing the gospel. Not enough Christians, not enough of the church being with the people and seeing the people, not enough witnessing as Jesus calls us to do, not enough loving them and serving them and telling them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the answer that you're looking for. And then he says this, he says, beseech the Lord of the harvest. The word beseech is important. It's an urgent word of beg. Pray to God and beg, ask that he would send more workers into his harvest. Pray to God that more people, more Christians, more churches, more followers of Christ would come and share the gospel with the people. Now here's one thing Jesus is doing. Jesus with this statement is affirming the reality that we are to participate in what God is doing, both by being in prayer and by being with the people and sharing the gospel. And so this passage has been ingrained in me and on my heart, and it's really been ingrained in our church ever since. And I believe that we as a church, just as we were 3 years ago, and should always be, are to be people that are with the people. To be followers of Christ that are in the community, seeing the people as Christ sees them and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Tucson is an amazing city with amazing people. But here's realities. We're in a city that is one of the most lost cities in all of the United States. A city where more than 90% of the people do not know Christ as their Savior. A city where about 93% of people are unchurched. And right here in our area, it's even more. And God has called us to Tucson. I don't just mean Jessica and I and my family. I mean you. I mean our church. He's called us here. We are here because God is big. We are here because God is good and He knows what He is doing. Authentic Life Church is called. Go ahead and put that up there for me, Kevin. That's our vision statement. Our church is called and we exist to connect people to Jesus. To introduce people to a Jesus that loves them and died for them and then rose again and has a new life for them. We exist to grow together as a church family into who God has called us to be more like Him. So to connect people to Jesus, to grow together and live authentically for Him. Church, we're to live lives that make much of Jesus. We're to live lives where there is evidence that we belong to Jesus. Right? If somebody looked at us and our church or us as individuals, would they know we belong to Jesus? To truly walk with Him and grow in that walk with Him each and every day, no matter if we are at church on Sunday or we are at home during the week or we're at work or we are at play, we're to walk with Christ in a real and authentic way. The harvest is plentiful right here in Tucson, but the workers are few. There are people everywhere we turn that do not know Jesus. And when Jesus looks at them, their eternity matters to Him. And so for us, when we look at them, their eternity matters to us. Here's a reality. If it doesn't matter to us, we're not walking with the Lord like we should be. I mean, that's just a reality. And so we pray and join in because we get to be a part of what God is doing. Amen, church? of the people that don't know Christ, 93% or more that aren't churched. A city that most would consider a godless city, one of the most lost cities. And God has brought us here to be His church, to be His people. But God, that's a big task. God, I don't know. Is it worth it? Can we even make a dent in the lostness here in this city? God, are you sure? Because we can look around at the people in this room. God, I don't know, right? Man, we're just people. We're growing, God, but what can we do? Over 90% of the people here, maybe you can move us. God, just pick us up and move us to a population where it would be easier. Where we might have a little bit more of an impact. I'll tell you what, when God called Jessica and I to plant a church, our first reaction and our steps were not to plant in Tucson. It wasn't. It was in Kansas City, Missouri. We can do this, God. I got this, man. You know, we got friends and family. The joke has been we've been able to launch the church with 150 people just with my family, you know. And just, friend, God, we can do this. We know the area, right? Their percentages of unchurched people and unsaved people are a whole lot better, God. What do you say, God? Let's make a deal. Maybe we'll do something harder next. And He made it clear. I'm moving all across the world, but when it comes to your family and where I'm sending you, man, I'm working in Tucson. I'm moving in Tucson. Things are happening in Tucson. The gospel is needed, and it will be preached and shared in Tucson. There are people there that are ready to dive in, and I'm preparing others to be a part of Authentic Life Church. I'm calling you guys to Tucson. This isn't about what you can do, Jeff. It's not even about what you want to do. Or what you're comfortable with. It's about what I'm doing and what I'm calling you to do. And so guess what? We packed up and came to Tucson to be a part of not what we were going to do, but to be a part of what God is already doing. Not long after we moved here, we began to meet people and fall in love with this city. We asked God two things. I'd been in Kansas City. Here's the reality. When in Kansas City, I'd never lived more than 20 minutes away from where I was born. And I live with a big old family, right? Crazy. Love you guys, but crazy family, man. Just, and I asked God, I said, God, make Tucson my home and give us family. And God brought around us, he brought some of our family down here, my sister and her husband and the kiddos, and then Lynn, my mother-in-law. But he started to gather people around us that were our family, like our Tucson family, our core team that helped us launch this church. So we were falling in love with the city and with the people that we were meeting, and we're just diving in. And I remember a friend asked me a question. He just asked me point blank out of nowhere. He said, Jeff, if you could see God do something so big that it would seem impossible for the kingdom of God, what would it be? It didn't take me 10 seconds to answer. I said, I want to see those percentages turned upside down. Instead of less than 10% of people knowing Christ are in our communities, I would love to see God use us in our communities and in our homes to see God turn that number upside down so it's 90% of the people that know Christ, and those 90 are joining in to reach the other 10. That was the answer. But when I step back and I look at this and I think, man, I don't know. Man, maybe that's impossible. Is it really possible for Authentic Life Church and others in Tucson to have any sort of impact on the darkness in the city and the lostness here? Is it possible to do anything that matters? Anything that would even make a dent, let alone see those numbers flipped upside down? Church, here's the reality that we can rest in this morning. We serve a big God. Let me try that again. All right. Church, we serve a big God. Amen. Getting better. All right. A God that was at work before we ever existed. A God that will still be the same big God at work when we are gone and at home with Him. Last week we looked at that He was at work not only in the big details but also in the ordinary day-to-day details in our lives and in the world around us. We serve a big God. And today I want us to bring our attention to a very powerful text from God's Word out of Ephesians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, there's some at the end of the row. By the way, if you need a Bible, we have plenty. Take it. Have it. This section of Scripture that we're going to look at is known as a doxology. A passage that is full of adoration for a God that is more than we could ever comprehend. There's a man that's known as the Prince of Preachers. Years ago, he made the statement, Charles Spurgeon said this about this text, these two verses that we're going to look at today. I told Levi we were going to do two verses, and he said, that's it? You know, two verses, man. He says this over our text. In our text, we have adoration. Adoration, not even so much the act of praise as the full sense that praise is due and far more of it than we can render. And I want to tell you, when I was studying this passage for our message today, I found myself in a place that I needed to be and you need to be. I found myself in complete awe of who God is. And I can't even comprehend all of who God is. I was in a place of awe of who He is and that He wants to use me and you and us, right? Our church. Oh God, we adore You. Amen, church. Our focus this morning will be in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. So as you guys turn there, building up to this point, I just want to give you a little bit of background that will help us with this text. In verse 14, Paul is talking about praying for this church of Ephesus, but praying for the church. That God would grant them, according to His riches and glory, that He would grant them to be strengthened with the power through His Spirit in the inner man. We focus a lot on the outer man and outer woman, don't we? But what about the inner? We become stronger in our walk and stronger spiritually when the Holy Spirit is leading. Putting makeup on or an outfit on or even a mask or a cap, it doesn't change who we are on the inside. But the Holy Spirit can do that work in us. We become stronger when we allow God, the Holy Spirit, to work on us from the inside out. When we become obedient to Him, when we're in His Word, when we're seeking Him in prayer. And then Paul, he goes on to say, and later he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So still leading up to our text, this prayer is this, that we would not only become Christians, but truly let God be at home within us. I mean, that's a big statement. Like, if we were Jesus and he's going to come and live within us, would he feel comfortable within us? That we would allow him to live in us and through us. That our life would be a reflection of who he is. And when Christ dwells within us, Paul continues to say that we would be rooted and grounded in love. And to know and experience all the love of God that surpasses knowledge. And the prayer is that the church would be filled to all the fullness of God. So leading up to this, here it is, church. He is praying that the church would be so strong spiritually, so full of Jesus, driven by God and his love, that our lives would be dominated by the Lord. We're Americans. We don't want anybody dominating anything on us, do we? But we need our lives to be dominated by God. Our thoughts, our motives, our actions, our love. We want our lives to be dominated by him, totally devoted to him. So all of that. We're being filled by the Holy Spirit. We've got Jesus residing within us. We're filled to the tops with God. And then we come to verse 20 and 21. And so just to give reverence to God and his word, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. And this doesn't leave us in adoration of who God is. I don't know how to help you. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you that you, in your sovereignty and your wisdom, has placed each person where they are here today. And in your wisdom and your sovereignty, you've placed us in our places of work and school, in our marriages, the kids we have, God, the neighbors we have, to be your church. God, help us know today that we serve a big God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We spent a lot of time last week looking at the work and the involvement of God, seeing God in all the details. Here's a great reality. He isn't a God that said, let there be, and now let me be, right? He's a God that said, let there be, now I'm going to be involved. I'm going to be active, and I'm going to work in your lives and in the world around you. And he calls us to be a part of what he is doing. And we saw last week in Acts chapter 8, Philip, a man of God, was obedient. God said, go, and he said, no. No, he went, man, right? God said, go, and he went. God said, here's how, and Philip says, I got a better idea. No, he said, okay. Philip was able to see God work in a mighty way because he was obedient, and he allowed Christ to work in and through him. He allowed God to use him. Philip's life showed that it was all about God and what he wanted and what God was doing. Philip lives out a life that says, I want to be a part of that, God. Fill me up, lead me, use me, I'm yours. When's the last time we prayed that, God? I'm yours, right? I'm yours. Sure, we did that this morning. Hey, God, you got me from 10:30 to, I don't know, 2, whatever time we get out of here. But God, I'm yours, man. For us, we look at where God has us. We look at Authentic Life Church and the mission before us. We are with the people. We're in the community. We see the people. We realize their spiritual current condition. An amazing city that Jesus loves. Filled with people that Jesus wants to have a relationship with. Filled with people that God wants to do life with and to use and to spend eternity with, to see them come to know Christ and be saved. And in his wisdom, he has placed us right here at this time to be a part of what he is doing. And when we ask the questions from earlier, God, are you sure? Is it really possible, God, for us to connect people to Jesus, to grow together, to live our lives for him, to see that numbers flipped around? Are you sure? Is it really possible? Can there be a revival in Tucson? Can there really be an impact made here in a city that is one of the most lost cities in the country? Can we really be a church that you use? Church, we can look at this passage, a passage that describes our God, and we can know that our God is able. Our God is able. On the back of your bulletin, if you need it, there's some notes for you. Verse 20 says this, "Now to him who is able." What would it look like, church, if we as followers of Christ, if we at Authentic Life Church, if we truly understood and believed that it is not about what we can or cannot do, but we come to a place of understanding that it's all about what God is doing and understand that He is able. He's the one that brought us together. He's the one that leads us as His church here in Tucson. He's the one that has put this body together, the different people, the different gifts and abilities He's given each and every one of us. Here's a free one for us, church. Use those gifts in the church. Unapologetically, man. If you're not using those gifts in the church, man, I don't know what to... Woo! Do it! You get me? Are you with me? All right. That's free. But man, we got to... Let's do it, man. I don't know. Where am I at? He's put this body together, the people, the gifts, the abilities, the passions and experiences, the places you live and work and go. That is all God. God sees the people of Tucson and the places He and the people He places in our lives. And He, as He is at work, has laid it on our hearts to be His church here in Tucson, to connect people to Jesus, to grow together in our walk with Him, and to live our lives in a real and authentic way for His glory. To make much of Jesus, to see others come to know Christ. I had a conversation with somebody this past week. We're just kind of talking stuff, talking shop a little bit. And he tells me that a person came to know Christ, and I got the big smile came across my face. Man, God is big, amen? There's so much packed into these two verses. It's almost like Paul just like, oh, you think that's good? Just wait till the next verse, and wait till the next word, and the next word, and the next word. He says this, here we go. Now to him who is able, we've done that, to do. The words to do are important here. In the Greek, this is what it means. It's a big word. You ready? It means to produce, to construct, to make ready, to prepare, to acquire, to provide, to make something out of nothing, to lead, to cause, to act, to perform. Here's what it means. Whatever God needs to do to accomplish His mission, whatever He needs to do to accomplish His will, to spread the gospel, He is able to do. Woo! That's good stuff. Paul doesn't stop there. He says, look at this. He says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly. Some of y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. If this doesn't excite you, man, I'm going to dry that wood out, man. Let's get on fire. Abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. To do far more abundantly, it means this. It comes from two Greek words. One word means this, above or beyond. And the other word, it means abundantly or infinitely, that word, infinite, that word, more, okay? I practice it too, man. I don't know, I can't. What God is able to do to accomplish His works is beyond our measure. It exceeds more than you and I could ever ask or think. Our God is able. There is nothing too big for Him. There was a woman that went up to her pastor. This was a well-known British preacher and pastor and evangelist. His ministry was from the late 1800s to early 1900s. And she asked him a question after a sermon. She says, Pastor, do you think we should pray for even the little things in our life or just for the big things? And I love his reply to her. It was this. Do you think, madam, can you think of anything in your life that is big to God? Puts things in a little bit of perspective, doesn't it? Church, do you think there is anything that we could ask God that would be considered big to Him? Not too big, just big. We see things from our perspective, right? We see things from our vantage point. We see things through our lenses and through our experiences. But with God, He is not only able, He is able to do. And He is able to do far more abundantly. And He's able to do far more abundantly beyond anything we could think or ask. There are not enough words or thoughts in our bodies. There are not enough words or abilities and thoughts in all of the people on this planet that could ever describe or imagine the ability of God to accomplish what He needs to accomplish. Think about this. When we are in God's will, When we are willing to be used by God, we can take our prayers, our requests to God, our thoughts to God, and He is able to do more than even our biggest ask or your biggest thought. I like the sounds of that. Because when I think about our community being turned upside down with the gospel of Christ, when I think about God using our church to be a part of what He is doing here in Tucson, to me, to us, it seems impossible. It seems impossible for us to connect people to Jesus, to grow together and to live for Him, to make much of Jesus, to see people come to know Christ, to see those numbers flipped. To us, it seems impossible, but to God, He's able to do far more abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. We take things to God, and we pray, and we ask God. We have those things we take to God. And then there are things that are floating around inside of us, in our minds and in our hearts, that we don't even ask God because we think it might be too big. But God is able. So the first is this. Let's just say that with me. God is able. Let's say it, church. God is able. And second is this. God will accomplish His mission through His church. He will use His church. That's been His plan. All of verse 20 says this. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. What was He talking about earlier that we were leading up in there? The Spirit on the inside. Being Jesus, being at home, God filling us up according to the power that works within us. Now check this out. I think we can all agree that our all-powerful, all-knowing, all-sovereign, all-wise, all-sufficient God doesn't need us. That's true. God does not need us. The God that spoke all things into creation, the God that formed us, the God that takes care of His creation and is over all things, the God that has always been and always will be, the God that at every knee will bow and every tongue will confess one day, that God, He doesn't need us, but He chooses to use us. He chooses to use His church. He has even chosen to accomplish His mission through His church as we let Christ live in and through us. As we let the Holy Spirit change us and grow us from the inside out. As we are in His Word and obedient. As we connect people to Jesus. As we give. As we love. As we serve. As we pray. And as we go, He will use us to accomplish His mission. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing about this stuff. When we give, we're only giving back what was given to us. It's not ours. When we love and serve, we're only loving and serving as He has loved and served us and exampled it and leads us. It wasn't our idea, right? When we pray and go, we're seeking Him and being obedient to what He is doing and what He's called us to do. When we share Jesus, man, we're just telling others who saved us from our messy life. God is able and He will use His church. Amen? Have you ever looked through God's Word? And just seeing how He is able even when it seems impossible. Track with me here. He says this, or we see this. We see Moses. Moses had some issues. Moses had a speech issue. But God used him to lead His people out of Egypt. We see Joseph thrown into a pit and sold into slavery. But what does God do? He uses him in some mighty ways. Being sold into slavery, he's from that point to being used as Pharaoh's lead guy. God used him to lead them through a time of famine. We see a young shepherd boy overlooked by most, even his family. But God said, he's the one I want to use. And He used him to take down a giant, right? An enemy that was against God's people and later became a powerful king. We see the promised Messiah. Born of a virgin, live a perfect life, die on a cross, and rise again the third day, just as He said He would, for the salvation and forgiveness of sins that seemed impossible to cover, and give us eternal life to those that would believe and trust in Jesus. We see one man after Jesus has left. We see a Peter give a message of the gospel and of repentance, and we see around 3,000 people saved by God at one time. We see the church grow regardless of persecution and difficulties. In fact, the guy that was the leader of that, we see Paul, a killer and a persecutor of Christians, become a man used by God, and he became persecuted. He was planting churches. He discipled and built up other Christians and leaders. He was led by the Holy Spirit to write some New Testament books. And we can know when we look at all that and what he's done just in 3 years that our God is able. Our God is able to accomplish more than we can ask or think, and he is able to use even you. If he can use this, he can use you. George gets it, man. When we see this statement, this is big right here. Now to him who is able. This statement describes who God is at all times. The statement lets us know that God is always able. He always has been and he always will be. Not with just certain people or in certain circumstances, not just at certain times or places, and not just in some opportunities. Our God, that is who he is. Our God is always able. And I think it's hard for us to comprehend because we are not always able. We need vacations. Amen, Jessica? We need time off. We need solitude, right? We need breaks. We need to get away. We need to energize. We need to rest. But that is not who our God is. He never gets tired. He never wears out. He never misses anything. Our God is always able. That is who he is. That's good stuff. Amen. Good. I was about to amen myself on that. This is good stuff, church. And all of that, after all of that, we read this in verse 21. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And we all say, amen. The adoration expressed here is to be expressed at all times, and it will be expressed. It must be expressed by the church. Those that have trusted Christ years ago, those that are followers of Christ today, those that will come to know Christ tomorrow and after we are long gone from this world, hopefully with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God has been at work and he will continue to be at work. Our God was able before this text was written. And our God will always be able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Our third reality is this. He's big, he's going to use us, and this is this. The third one is this. What God is doing is bigger. Bigger than us. Bigger than our church. Bigger than our city. God is moving at all times and accomplishing his mission throughout the world. So what God is doing is bigger. Bigger than our lifetime. Bigger than our lifetime. We serve a God that is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He always was and always will be, and he is on a mission, and he is able to do far more than we can ever think or ask. Let us be a church that sees our God as able, that will change how we pray, that will change how we act. Let us be a church that asks God the big requests. We need this mamsy-pamsy junk, man. We got a city that needs Jesus, man. We got to be after it. Let's take the big request to God. Let's be a church that is so in awe of God that we cannot wait to be a part of what he is doing here and now. By the way, let us be a church that wants to gather to give him praise and hear from his word. Amen, church? That was free, too. Let us be a church that wants to be a part of what he is doing for generations to come. We're going to talk more about that next week. But church, our God is able. He will accomplish his mission through his church. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power of God. Let us be aware that what he is doing is bigger than we can ever imagine. And church, here's this. Let us know and live a life that shows that our God is worthy. Our God is worthy. The only fitting response to this great God is to give him glory, especially in the church. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He is worthy. We sang a song last week. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. There is no one that stands in comparison to our God. Jeremiah 10:6 says this, "There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name and might." Later in chapter 32, verse 17, we read this, "Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." Church, He is worthy and He is able and He wants to use us. Let us at Authentic Life know and believe that. Let us respond by being with the people and seeing the people and inviting others into what God is doing right here. Let us share the love and the truth and the need of Jesus with those around us. Let us be dedicated to connecting people to Jesus. Let us be dedicated to growing in our walk with Him together. Let us be dedicated to live lives that make much of Jesus and less of ourselves. Amen. Let our lives reflect Him. Let our lives be dedicated to living in such a way that is pleasing to God, to a God that has given us everything so that we can know Jesus and spend eternity with Him. And church, let us know that as we begin year 4, our God is able. Are we willing to give us toward what He's doing? It's not about Authentic Life. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about what God is doing. Are we willing to be a part of what He's doing? Are we willing to give financially to what He's doing? Oh, great. Pastor's talking about giving again. Well, I can't miss it, church. The Bible talks about giving. Sorry. Right? God gave to us, right? And He wants us to give back to what He's doing. Are we willing to give financially to what He's doing? Are we willing to use our hands and feet and get dirty? Are we willing to serve and love on others that make us feel uncomfortable? Are we willing to give our hearts? Are we willing to listen and learn and grow? Are we willing to do what He asks of us or tells us to do? I believe that God will use Authentic Life Church in amazing ways. If we are willing to be a part of what He is doing, if we're faithful to Him and to the Word of God, if we trust Him, if we ask of Him and seek Him in prayer, even to do the impossible. As we walk through 2018 as a church, let us have confidence that our God is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think. Let us have confidence that we can and will, that He can and will use us. Let us seek Him in prayer always. A little plug. We have a group that meets for prayer at 10 o'clock every morning before service. Be there. Let us respond by being in awe of God and never ceasing to give Him praise because He is worthy. And let us live this out, connecting people to Jesus, growing together and living authentically for Him. Because we know that our God is able. So let's live like it. Let's believe it. Father.